sind gute Show.
In a world where every conversation is about what movie or TV show you've just seen, one comedian doing his own voiceover for his own podcast due to monetary restrictions got tired of pretending he's seen The Wire in conversations at parties. This is Never Seen It. Comedians rewriting famous movies and TV shows they've never seen. I'm Kyle Ayers. Thank you for listening to the Never Seen It podcast. I hope we have the whole thing leading into this. I am your host, Kyle Ayers. This is the podcast where we have comedians and people rewrite famous movies or television shows they've never seen. And then we will do a reading of that later in the episode. Today we have Scarface, written by Langston Kerman.
Yay!
Thank you for joining us. We also have Aaron McCown here in studio.
What's my last name?
McCown.
I'm sorry, it sounded like you gave me a C instead of a G.
It's filled with consonants.
Yeah. You're thinking of Cade McCown.
Yes,
NFL backup quarterback. And Dan Prevett, also here in studio with us.
He nailed my last name.
I know.
I asked Aaron before.
Super Texas.
It's just because, well, I like to purposefully mess up women's last names.
Right, sure.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
That's natural.
All right, moving on to the second segment. I told you guys I wasn't going to be able to.
That's how every show starts, is with a butchering of the female guest name.
You had me at butchering of a female.
Let's get playback.
So we were talking a lot about Miami and everyone's knowledge of Miami leading, and we're going to get to the script later in it. I am very excited. Yours is the first one to have an edited title page on it.
Oh, sure.
And we're going to tease that to keep all the listeners in. Do you want to read everyone your title page?
Yeah, sure. I named it Scarface, The New Frontier, written by Langston Kerman, based on a few clips I've seen of the actual film Scarface, and my obvious hatred towards cultural appropriation and the clear promotion of violence and drugs in the black and brown communities.
That was actually the original tagline to Birdman as well.
They did not know what that movie was about.
Yeah, no. Everyone's still not sure if they know. And then we're going to, like every episode, we're going to finish the entire episode with a rousing game of guess what movie my dad describes based on having only seen the trailer to the movie and never heard of the movie.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Quentin Tarantino character introduction with that shaker.
So
you guys know a little bit with the game. We're going to play a little bit of one of the, it's literally audio of my dad reading notes about a movie trailer to a movie he's never heard of or seen. And so we're going to give a little tease of one and we'll get back at the end.
Okay. So he just asks the girl out at the bank.
That's it? Okay, that's our tease that we get. Okay, so
I think I have a good feeling about it.
Well, I want you to sit on what you think it is.
You just asked the girl out at the bank. Is this a movie that is still forthcoming currently, or is it? Can it be any time?
Any movie from any time.
Oh, man, that is a wide spectrum.
It's important. The reason is my dad has never... The last time he went and saw a movie was Space Jam. This is going to come up on every episode of the show. That's the last time he was at a movie theater.
Well, and good choice.
His argument wavers between I fell asleep and what's been better.
Oh my god, that's the cutest.
What a great movie to end on, though.
Yeah,
if
you gotta walk off, you gotta walk up. It's also a fun phone call to field to explain voice memos to my mom once a week. So it's called what? Memo? Message memo? Messaging? Messages? I'm like, no, I think you're just reading the name of messages to me. And we get through. So we'll get back. We're gonna end the show. We have three movies my dad has the trailer description to. And so now we're going to get into, we're going to talk about some movies, we're going to talk about TV shows. Yeah. I want to know, and we ask everyone this question, what is the best movie, and I say best with like the critical version of that definition, what is the one that you haven't seen that people are like, you gotta see it, because that's kind of where this whole thing stems from, the whole podcast, the whole idea of the show, and you guys can think about what's the best one that you've never seen.
Oh man, that's so tough. I've never seen The English Patient.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's
like
well
a critically acclaimed film.
The movie that we're all familiar with.
I've never seen that.
I've never seen it.
I don't know.
It seems to be one of those movies that now everybody agrees is not that great.
Right.
It's like it was a huge thing when it came out, and now everybody's like, no, you can skip that.
Everyone
one.
Likes doing that, and I'm tired of that.
I think it's like, well, I don't even know what it's about, but it's like a dude in war, right? Isn't that the deal?
It's like a sick person, right?
Okay.
He's the patient
sick,
part?
He's a sick person in war?
In war.
I wonder what language he speaks.
Well, you know, they always send the sick to war.
Let's get rid of them.
They take the reverse health test. We always take the president's unhealthy test growing up in elementary school.
Can you touch your knees? Get in the front line.
No. Oh, you can reach the ruler with your feet.
It's just a cold. I'll be better soon, please.
That was always incredible seeing who the slowest kid in your class was in the most public manner growing up. The presidential fitness test. It was like, we did
this
a thing where it was like, run until you couldn't run anymore. And it's like, so not only if you're out of shape, then you got to do less work.
Oh, wait. You guys had to run, like, nonstop?
It was like a beep thing, where the beeps would get closer. So you ran, and you had, like, 30 seconds to get across the basketball court, and then it'd go to, like, 29 seconds to get across. You know what I'm talking about out there. It would get to, like, 29
seconds.
I've
never heard of this beep situation.
No, not at all. We had a mile run. We had to run
a mile.
We had.
But what was this weird, like...
This is like a...
This weird
you know, I'm
aptitude
not trying to implicate
test.
My PE teacher in any crime.
Yeah, we need a name.
It's like, all right, kids, take your shirt off and show me your muscles.
You know about it if you've seen The English Patient, which takes place in Blue Springs, Missouri with Coach Bumgardner.
Show me those sexy kid muscles. I want to see who can flex the biggest.
We had to do push-ups.
Freshly forming.
And my PE teacher broke both of his arms on a motorcycle accident and then made us all do push-ups. And every kid would be like, you do a push-up.
Oh, that's ice cold.
We had
that's ice cold.
We had a teacher one time when we went on a school trip that we like stayed up too late. We were sleeping in cabins. It was meant to be like a big adventurous kind of thing. And we stayed up past the bedtime that we were supposed to do. And then Mr. Turner came in and he just screamed at us and called us idiots and made us do push-ups for hours. He's just like, get on the floor, you idiots.
You're idiots.
He's like, just do push-ups. And we were like all crying. None of us could do more than like 20 push-ups.
Oh, man.
And he's just screaming because we woke him up. He didn't want to be awake. He just made us do push-ups. And he lived on my block, so I had to do push-ups. And then, like, see him later.
If you kids are going to wake me up at night, I'm at least going to make sure you can also kick my ass.
He's just making us stronger. We were so strong after that.
That's all it took.
So the English Patient is the one.
Yeah.
You've seen all these. You've seen Mad Men.
Yeah, I've seen Mad Men.
You like you get into these like long television,
that's a movie?
Wildly or television
sorry.
Shows.
I'm sorry,
you would have heard of it if it was a movie. And you know, like I've never seen The Wire.
No.
And for the longest time, I just told everyone I had because I was tired of having everyone talk at me at parties. But I haven't, and now I don't. It's daunting to start because everyone. I can't deal with shows where people are like, "Look, just give it." The first 80 episodes aren't great, but there's two pretty good ones 70 hours in.
I think The Wire is the opposite. It's pretty great from the beginning. You get one bad season, but it's pretty much, and really, the bad season is the end. Like it's them just trying to rush to finish it.
How many seasons was that?
Five.
See, that's not that bad.
How many episodes are in season? Like 20?
No, HBO.
See, I watched
they max out
no,
like
no
13.
Rebuttal. Just
no, number. No number.
Fucking idiot.
You're an idiot.
Do push-ups.
Man, Kyle still hasn't seen The Wire, but he's jacked. It seems daunting to start, but then I just find myself watching the same trash I've seen over and over again. Like,
right.
So you've never seen The English Patient.
No.
Have you seen, like, Casablanca?
Yes.
And you've seen, like, Citizen Kane?
Yes.
You're
I didn't
a very
didn't
well-watched
get
movie.
I didn't get man. Citizen Kane.
What's it about?
A newspaper man who he reflects on his life, and it was just a big...
But he's more than just a newspaper.
Right.
It's when newspapers mattered, so he's like the biggest dude in all of the world, kind of.
Yeah.
And he's reflecting on his life, and he is not happy about it.
And so, you're seeing where this unhappiness and where the memory that lingers with him on his deathbed came from.
Rosebud.
Ooh.
And it's also one of those movies that like did a lot of things first, so everyone talked about it forever.
It's literally known as like the greatest film ever made, and then you'll watch it and you'll be like, bullshit.
You're like, well, that's imagine being like, that's the greatest film ever made. It's like, oh, it must have beat out the other film. It's just a lot less competition before you let everyone start playing baseball, is what I'm saying.
Sure.
So what is like? Okay, so you've seen, like, you've seen a lot of these things. Yeah. I was talking about these
Chinatown,
things.
I've seen
Chinatown's
it.
A great one.
Been in there.
What is, like, do you have a go-to trash thing you've seen more than anything?
Oh, man. You know what movie I really love that anytime I get the chance to watch it, I will watch it, is Nacho Libre.
Yeah?
That's a fantastic film.
I think Aaron's fed up just from how you said Nacho Libre.
Nacho Libre. Can you give yourself Spanish, an egg shake
I'm
for
a
that?
Spanish speaker, oh, yeah, naturally.
Please say a movie I've seen more than any other. Yeah.
A movie I've seen more than any other film is Nacho Libre.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Sorry, I thought you didn't like cultural appropriation. Just based on
Sorry, I am laughing loud.
That's okay.
It's funny. I really like it when Jack Black does it.
I think Jack Black is the best.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good. He murders that film. It's fantastic.
I think there are a few films where sometimes someone is cast. So I think his casting in School of Rock is the most perfect match of person and casting that has ever existed. There might be other things as perfect, but there's been no better casting.
No, yeah. I'd agree with that.
That's like Brando in The Godfather level casting decision.
If you put anyone else in there, you're like, why am I going to watch this guy be weird, too long shorts around kids?
Right.
Did you know the School of Rock is around here? The real School of Rock? Do you guys know this?
I didn't know it was a
real
place.
No, I usually don't know where most kids are.
No, it's like in Toluca Lake. It's close by.
And is it... Wait, it's just the school, or is it known as School of Rock?
It says School of Rock on the outside. Oh, and I was like, is this the real School of Rock?
They've like completely rebranded since the film.
I guess, yeah. It has like a little star and everything.
Because that's not the premise of the film. They didn't start off as the School of Rock.
Right,
and then, he just made it cooler.
He's the first teacher to notice the sign outside.
These guys aren't rocking.
You guys are not rocking. So what is it about Nacho Libre that makes you, that gives it the rewatchability?
My God, is it funny?
Have you guys seen Nacho Libre?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's got heart.
Yeah.
It's got a little bit of heart, you know? You watch it and you laugh and you cry and you look at that chubby kid and he's having a good time dreaming. Yeah. I just love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like one of those, you never feel too sad, but you get to keep feeling better type of movies. So it doesn't, no matter when you pick it up, you can still feel a little bit better.
Yeah. Cool catchphrases.
What
get
are they?
Get that corn out of my face.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite things. I'm always ready to say that.
How incredible would it be if you were wrong? Like, if that was from a different movie?
I would be so embarrassed.
You can't handle the truth. Nacho Libre.
Some wonderful catchphrases from Nacho Libre. Paint me like one of your French girls.
Get that corn out of my face is also from August Osage County.
Is that true?
I think that's in there. They fight about food a lot in that movie.
Get the corn
they fight about
face.
Food a lot in that movie. It's just a numbers game for the amount of times they fight about food that those words ended up close to each other at some point.
I would say I probably watch Nacho Libre twice a year.
Okay, so you've seen it maybe 10, 15 times more?
Yeah, I would say 10 to 15 sounds reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say it is the most rewatchable movie in your repertoire of movies you go through?
Yes. I would say it's the most. There's so many movies that I enjoy watching, but like you can't revisit the jokes. Just feel new every time they say anything in that movie. So I watch it over and over again. I love it. And then if you can get somebody else that hasn't seen it with you, oh, what a treat!
Yeah, you like to watch it with someone who hasn't seen it.
Yeah,
are you like the Here It Comes guy? Are you looking at them and then back at the TV?
I'm looking, but I don't say anything.
Oh, that's nice.
I just glance over. I use my peripherals. I'm just watching to see what you like. You know what I mean?
What if they don't like the parts you like?
Oh, then they're bad people, and I get them out of there. I punish them.
So you could have feasibly, what's The English Patient's probably an hour and a half long.
No, The English Patient has to be like
that's
3 hours.
That's a 3-hour movie, yeah, I think so.
So that's just two Nacho Libres.
Two Nacho Libres.
That's your new currency of time is how many, I live like 0.6 Nacho Libres from here, with or without traffic. So if you eliminated one, you could knock The English Patient off your list. But you probably, what if, they might not like it as much as Nacho Libre.
I'm almost certain I would like it as much
he
as Nacho
might
Libre.
Not.
I'm going to go ahead and say, I don't think it's as funny.
Well, it's a real tomato-tomato situation.
Yeah. Sure. Right.
And so did you go see a lot of movies in theaters growing up?
I did. I have a lot of fond memories from movies. I saw Signs in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
that was scary.
It was a scary movie. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When the alien creeps across the doorway and the little Spanish kid is like, aquí, aquí. And then like he's just, I'm really good at Spanish.
So what I'm putting together here is for you to really have an affection for a movie, you have to be able to align with a kid that's not akin to your background.
Give me a Spanish kid in a film and I enjoy it. Were there Spanish kids in Scarface?
Maybe in a flashback.
Okay. Well, then I gotta watch Scarface.
So that was it. What's, you remember going and seeing Signs in movie theater?
Signs. I saw Jurassic Park.
What's
in
like
movies.
Jurassic that Park was, is my earliest movie theater memory of being one. Like seeing a movie is a great thing you can do.
Yeah.
Do you have something where you're like, oh, this is this? I remember everything about seeing Jurassic Park.
Mm.
Is there anything that's like that for you? You remember the whole process?
Yeah, this is probably a good example.
So funny if it's Nacho Libre.
I saw for my, it had to be like my 10th birthday. Mm-hmm. Maybe that the math will be off, but I saw The Sixth Man. For it was like invited
where that all, basketball player dies.
Yeah, where Marlon Wayans was the star of the film, and Kadeem Hardison is his brother, and he dies on the basketball court. He like dunks the ball really hard,
so hard,
and his heart explodes.
Oh my gosh!
And then here's the catch of the film. He comes back as a ghost to help Marlon Wayans' his brother become a successful NCAA basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
And he becomes his sixth man, if you will. And so he can do ghostly shit like catch the ball and slap faces while Marlon Wayans goes and
cheating.
Yeah. Here's what I love about the way you describe this film. Yeah. I have no idea if it's a comedy or a drama.
Like, well, neither did I. But here's the best one. I cried in the theater. It was like such a heartwarming, emotional film for me at 10 years old.
That have you rewatched it since then?
A couple times, yeah.
Does it hold up?
No, it doesn't. doesn't make me cry.
I
told you that it wasn't going to hold up.
I think that a lot. I remember I saw at a friend's house growing up Candyman, the movie Candyman. It gave me nightmares. I was too young to see it. Nightmares forever. Forever. And then I rewatched it
the
in
Black
college.
Boogeyman.
Yeah, and it's just not that scary at all.
No.
And I rewatched it in college. I'm like, embarrassed by how alone and afraid I was of this movie the whole time. And I was just embarrassed by it. Afraid to go in dark bathrooms because you can't say his name.
Right.
But this stuff sticks with you and has such an impressionable...
It's never going to not be scary in your head.
Right. Because I know it. All it is me being afraid of how I feel when I'm afraid. At this point, I'm not afraid of the dude in the movie.
Right.
I just know what it is.
Yeah, I feel that way about, this is going to sound dumb, but Tales from the Hood. Have you ever seen that movie?
Yes, yes.
It scared the shit out of me at like 12 years old, and now I can't watch it because I still like have those memories of being terrified. Have you guys seen Tales from the Hood?
No.
It was Tales from the Crypt, but with black people.
Oh, wow.
Exciting.
Same Crypt Keeper?
No, but kind of. Yep. It was like a black...
How is he different?
In a way that I'm not comfortable telling you.
You know what? Just write it down and Aaron will say it out loud.
I would love to.
That is... The stuff does really stick with you like that, though. And I remember when I was in elementary school, I went and saw Starship Troopers with a friend on a birthday, and I thought it was so scary, and it's also the first time I saw boobs on a movie screen, and maybe, you know, around, and at least since I was like a baby, and then I thought it was so scary for the longest time I wouldn't rewatch it, and then people were like, this is actually kind of like a satirical masterpiece, and I rewatched it, I'm like, oh, this isn't that scary, I'm happy Gary Busey's son gets shot in the face. He's annoying.
It's not even supposed to be scary.
The Frighteners is the same way for me. Another scary movie. Another comedy that I thought was terrifying.
See,
and
I haven't
rewatched.
Seen The Frighteners.
It's got Michael J. Fox. It's funny.
Oh, is that the one where he a bunch of ghosts are messing with him?
Yeah.
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
Doesn't it sound scary?
Yeah. But it was supposed to be a comedy.
It was a comedy, but I was terrified of it when I watched them as a kid. All right. Well, I'm glad I could get that out there for everyone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We're going to move on. We're going to play.
What a coward.
We're going to edit that out. Just in fact, put one of my stand-up jokes in before that and then let the laughs play. Don't put one away. Okay, we're going to play some games. The one, I lost them all already. How dumb am I? Am I dumb?
No.
Where did I put these documents on my...
Let's play other games.
We can fix this at some point, right?
Catch the clap. Right now. Everyone catch the clap.
All right. Is this it? No.
Everyone scream out your greatest fear.
Candyman. Candyman. Don't say it one more
time.
No,
not one more time.
Okay, so this first one is the never seen it before and afters. These are movie before and afters. These combo. We know the Wheel of Fortune category, right? Where it's like, and so here's the example: a charming robot sells penny stocks and becomes a billionaire.
Mm.
And that's the Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Maybe okay. None of us are familiar with it at all. The way that seemed to be a revelation.
Yeah.
So we have, there's three of them. Two of them make sense. The third one is the biggest stretch of probably any idea I've ever had, and we're doing this right now.
Okay.
Okay, so here's the next one. Some rich, smart kid gives up all of his possessions and sets out on a journey through steampunk lawless Alaska to save President Ulysses S. Grant.
Jesus Christ. There's something Wild Wild West in there.
Blank check? Something about blank check?
Or Richie Rich.
Richie Rich.
I think the first half is Into the Wild. So is it Into the Wild Wild West?
It is Into the Wild Wild West.
Oh my God!
Can I get the harmonica?
Yes. Hold on.
We don't have time for the rest of the games because the harmonica took up just too much time. Sorry, you're right, La Harmonica. Okay, so here's number two. In the most terrifying before and after yet, a young programmer is chosen to test the depth of human qualities in new robotic neo-Nazis.
Hmm.
Can you say that again?
A young programmer is chosen to test the depth of human qualities in new robotic neo-Nazis.
It's Ex Machina.
Yeah.
Oh, and American History Ex Machina.
Hit me with that harmonica.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. I've never heard of either of those movies.
Oh, you've never heard of American History X?
American History X?
Okay, fine. I've heard of them.
Did I say heard? I meant I was mad that Langston got it before me.
I never heard of the Machina one.
Machina?
Machina.
Machina.
Machina. Yeah. My bad. My
it's
bad.
Spanish.
It's a good movie.
Spanish.
There was Ex Machina, but they rebooted it and everyone online was very mad.
Oh, boy.
It's a great film. I really like Ex Machina.
Yeah. All right. Last one. The Norse god of thunder has to save a bunch of Jim Henson's puppets.
Oh, that's...
It's something about Thor.
Thor.
Oh, yes! Thor and puppets.
And Muppets.
Muppets, Thor, Treasure Island.
No.
I would
Thor
love to see
Lost
that movie.
In Manhattan.
Thor, Christmas Carol.
Wait, oh, Ragnarok.
Oh, yeah. Is it Fraggle Rock?
Fraggle
Rock.
There we go. That was good.
No, I guess.
Fraggle Rock.
Thor Fraggle Rock. Let's just combine these
Thor
words.
Thor Ragna Fraggle Rock.
Oh, boy.
Well, okay, that one didn't even earn the harmonica, but that's okay.
Yeah. No, I'm going to give myself a harmonica.
Thor.
Nice.
Thank you.
Oh, boy. When I stood up from my computer and stretched my arms and I throat Fraggle Rock.
Satisfied.
Yep. I really put the sad in satisfied. Hey, guys. Are you the kind of cinephile who's been known to use IMDb to track the timeline of someone's career? Or predict amongst friends the box office earnings opening weekend? Then you should be listening to Blank Check with Griffin and David, who together review directors' complete bodies of work episode to episode. Specifically, the auteurs whose early successes afforded them the rare blank check to make their own crazy big-budget passion projects. If you're listening to Doug Loves Movies or The Flophouse or How Did This Get Made, then you should give Blank Check a listen. The hosts are comedian and star of Amazon's The Tick, Griffin Newman, and The Atlantic senior film critic, David Sims. Past guests have included film critics from BuzzFeed, Vanity Fair, Vulture, Rolling Stone, Vox, IndieWire, Jezebel, director Alex Ross Perry, comedians Seton Smith and Mike Drucker. Listen to Blank Check on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. The only podcast where a kid gets ran over on his bicycle by a stranger who then writes him a check that he writes $1 million for using his old Macintosh computer and somehow gets $50 to $60 million worth of items. Okay, so here's a new game. We've never done this one before. I removed the actor names, but I'm going to read you the trivia, some of the trivia from IMDb trivia pages about movies, and you have to guess what movie the trivia is for.
Tight.
And so there's only two movies. Here's the first one, but I got a few for each. This one game has a title, too. I don't know. I'll come up with something eventually, right?
Okay. You said you weren't good at these transitions.
IMDb facts.
But now
game.
We believe you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually really good at it. I just can't go back on my word. That's the first trivia. The first one's this podcast. Okay, wow. Okay, here we go. Despite the fact that the film was a critical and financial disaster, the star has not expressed regret for his involvement. He said in a 2012 interview, "I was a medium-level juvenile delinquent from Newark who always dreamed about doing a movie. Someone said, hey, here's $7 million, come do this movie. What am I going to say? No? So I did it."
I was going to say Glitter, but he said he.
Yeah.
And 2012.
All right. You want another one?
Wait, more information?
There's
you
two
mean?
More, oh, more trivia facts
okay,
on this
yeah,
one.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, please.
This movie was such a failure that it was the director's last movie as a director.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
They now direct random television episodes.
Hmm. It's Fred Savage.
No, it's not.
Joey McIntyre?
Are these the titles of the movie?
Fred Savage, Joey McIntyre.
All right.
Classic
film. There's one more trivia fact for this one.
Okay.
This one, I thought this was the most obvious one, but I don't know if it's obvious at all. In Italy, they added a secondary title called The Giant Rap.
Ratatouille.
And why would the title have been The Giant Rap if it was Ratatouille? The critical and financial disaster that won an Oscar?
Fuck.
You know, it's the first thing.
You know,
to
I when you said The Giant Rap, I thought of...
R-A-P, not W-R-A-P.
Oh, yeah. Giant. No. Oh.
I thought of Kazam.
It is Kazam.
Is it really?
Yes!
Fuck yeah!
Wow.
Yeah!
That was amazing.
That is incredible. Yeah. I love that movie.
Well, it's not good.
I mean, it's not great. Yeah.
It's incredible. You thought of it because it was the answer.
Wait, but Shaq's not from Newark?
I don't know why he said that.
Maybe that's where he was when he got the call.
Okay.
Maybe
he also, he was incredibly wealthy when they made that movie.
Yeah, he didn't need $7
million. Yeah, I think he just grew up. I watched the interview to see if it was a real thing. He just grew up always wanting to be in a movie. So that was the first person who was like, do you want to be in a movie? He's like, yeah, I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that, I love him so much.
That explains the Icy Hot commercials for sure.
Yeah. And that gif where he's going...
Yeah. Yeah.
Google GIFs.
From thegeneral.com and all that.
All right. Here's a trivia, IMDb trivia movie number two.
Yeah.
Arnold Schwarzenegger was offered a major role, but at the time the script was only 80 pages, mostly handwritten and scribbles, and it didn't seem fully baked, he said. He has since said that he regrets not taking the role in this movie.
Mm.
All right. Quentin Tarantino is an uncredited screenwriter on this film.
Wow.
Which I looked up and was actually real. He had said he did a rewrite. It was the main actor's idea that his character would not swear. His euphemisms include gee whiz.
Ugh.
What
that
is
was a choice
this?
He made. One character approaches... This trivia... Sounds like an opinion, but one character approaches a grave containing the surprising inscription of his wife. I didn't want to do a Borat, but I almost did. And then it says this, making it very clear for audiences to understand the importance of that grave.
Fuck.
So there's a dead person. That's really all
that's
we know.
That's his wife.
That's his wife. His wife is dead.
Much of the main actor's dialogue was ad-libbed, including the Zeus's butthole line. Which the director wanted to have cut, but the actor insisted on leaving in.
Zeus the dog. Zeus sounds like a dog's name.
Is this
Arnold Schwarzenegger regrets turning this right, movie
here's
down?
The, here's the last trivia.
Oh, this is Turner and Hooch. Okay.
This is my this is my favorite one. And no, it's not Turner and Hooch. It's just Hooch.
Air Bud. Air Bud.
Focus on the dog thing. You're close. Okay. And it couldn't be further away. This is the last trivia, and I can't tell if it's really going to help or really going to hurt, but it's hilarious. All of the scenes involving FA or F-18s are literally just stock footage of the Blue Angels.
Wow.
Is this Air Force One?
No.
The Fugitive.
Pearl Harbor.
No. You know the Blue Angels' prominent existence when, in 1941?
I don't know this about
is,
history.
This is not Top Gun.
No.
No.
We're hovering around the right area, though.
It's a... Okay.
So it's an aviation
movie. I remember some more obvious trivia about Independence
it. Independence Day.
Down, but that's pretty close, too. One of the main actors in the film didn't want to have to go back and forth from the mainland to the set every day, so he built a tiny shack on the island they were shooting on.
Shit.
Armageddon.
Do you think they shot Armageddon on an island? That's an oil rig.
I like how you're shaming her for an answer.
I have to go to therapy for
this. If you miss one more, you think it's therapy? You think it's the therapist? Because that was shot in a studio.
Oh, I love that movie.
The island that the guy lived on was Alcatraz.
Oh. Alcatraz.
Con Air.
Con Air.
Oh, it's so close. It's The Rock.
It's The Rock. It's The Rock.
Oh, The Rock.
Harmonica.
I've never seen. Oh, there you go.
Oh, well, it's a Michael Bay movie, and it's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah. And if you haven't seen it, the trivia definitely won't make sense.
Is that that's Sean Connery?
Sean Connery,
right?
And Nicolas Cage apparently insisted on not cussing and says Zeus's butthole at some point. And
That all makes sense.
So when he says Zeus's butthole as like a.
It's literally like, oh, great, Zeus's butthole instead of like, holy shit.
Oh, like, wow, like, oh, Jesus, it's Zeus's butthole.
Holy shit. Yeah.
Wow. Zeus's butthole.
Good for him.
Good
I'm
for
gonna
him.
I'm going to start using that.
It's a good movie. You should check it out. It's so
it's
funny
fun,
to me that,
fun movie.
That Michael Bay's most well-received, like critically acclaimed movie, he had no budget for action and just used stock footage of the Blue Angels.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
That's
okay.
Funny.
Well, that's the end of the trivia and all of that.
Yeah,
and,
yeah,
congratulations.
Yeah.
I think everyone tied.
Everyone tied. Yes.
Nice.
Well, it's... That's at least what I'm telling you guys. I have the score here.
I mean, I'm clearly the winner.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure.
Okay.
Everyone
winner gets
tied.
To have written a script. All right, now we're going to get into it. We're going to get into the script.
We're reading the script?
Oh,
reading the script, baby. We can talk. Okay, so Scarface is such... We'll talk a little bit about the movie and what. Who has seen it? Has anyone seen Scarface?
Not I.
No.
None of us have seen it? I haven't seen it.
No.
Isn't it crazy how much it really had a moment in 2004?
Yeah, I mean, if you love hip-hop, Scarface is, like, synonymous with any sort of, like, rap music and rap culture of the early 2000s.
Well, it is a pure, like, rags-to-riches sort of film. Like, that's sort of the whole premise of it, I think.
He was, like, a Cuban immigrant, right?
Yeah.
It's really the first thing I ever knew. I thought it was so much better than... I have no idea if it's good or not, but it seemed like the best movie of all time based on how many... guys I liked had the poster in Cribs.
Mm-hmm.
It became a thing where they would show it. And they'd be like, you know, I got my Scarface poster. And they would show it, and they wanted to have the biggest... I remember Redman, he like lived in a duplex.
Mm-hmm.
And then his duplex was messy, and he's like, I don't know who that guy is, but he's just around. He's like, but I got this 30-foot Scarface poster in my living room. And I was like, damn, Redman doing
literally,
good.
His episode, he had to press wires together to ring his own doorbell.
Oh, my God.
He had a fully framed Scarface poster.
But that's, people have Scarface posters above their sharks, and like Nelly had this mask, and he's from Missouri, it's so cool. That was like, it was in every episode.
Yeah.
And then it became like the kind of like athletes would have it, and then like guys who weren't rappers or athletes would ironically, but maybe not ironically, have it, and then it was in every episode. People like, there's my Scarface poster.
I feel like right around the bubble burst thing with MTV Cribs was when it became ironic to show your Scarface memorabilia.
Yeah.
But like, up until then, it was fucking
like it was
cool.
Just Richard Branson on his island. And he's like, you guys want to paraglide down to my Scarface poster?
Excuse me, naked women. We got to go look at Scarface.
I remember, this is such a tangent. I remember on his episode, Mariah Carey was just on his island, and he was like, "Oh, you're here?
Yeah."
That's how big his island was.
he pretended, but he seemed to have no idea Mariah Carey was just lounging on his island.
On a bed in one of the parts, and he had that cool out. Man, if that guy sticks with it, that Richard Branson, I think. Can we get him, Andrew? Can we hit him?
Okay. I have his email. I'll send
you have
over.
His email?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's pretty tight.
Okay, yeah, but this movie is, I think, I don't know if everyone, I don't know, this movie is so well known in, like, being a prop in culture. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. It's I think it's, like, famous for its imagery more than its, like, moviness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is it good? Is it on Netflix?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
All right. Has anyone out there seen Scarface? Has anyone seen Scarface?
Has anybody out there listening seen Scarface?
If you have seen Scarface, send me a line that isn't one we would know.
Please, all right. Don't make fun of my script.
So do you want to? Do we want to introduce the character? The characters you introduce them in the exposition. Langston will be reading the exposition and the description.
They'll be introduced. They'll get their their day.
Cool.
In court. Should I begin?
Yeah, whenever you're ready.
Hell yeah. All right. Scarface, the new frontier. Interior, happening discotheque. Remember when we called clubs discotheques? LOL. The 70s were crazy. Night. The crowd bustles with young, hot Mexicans who are supposed to be Cuban and all are dressed in butterfly collared shirts and pants that look like JNCO jeans and pleated khakis had a really weird baby. There's sex in the air and Poppy wants a whiff.
Oh my God.
Scarface, 22 to 45.
Like he's a television audience demographic.
Devilishly handsome. Not even a little bit Italian looking, so get that out of your dumb brain. Walks through the crowd with the confidence of a man who's going on MTV Cribs with the Ying Yang Twins one day. Does he actually have a scar on his face? Fuck no. Why would you even ask that? That's not important. What's important is that he is not at all a problematic stereotype and that he has come for his cocaine. As he approaches the red rope of the VIP, pronounced ve-a-pe in Spanish,
oh my gosh.
He spots his dear friend who is almost certainly going to become his enemy by the end of the film, Smooth Skin. Scarface yells out his signature line.
Ciao, Bella. It's me, Scarface.
Oh my God.
It's going to fly well on a t-shirt. Hey, what's up, Scarface? How are your cocaine sales going?
To tell you the truth, it's not so good. I keep on snorting all of my product when I can sell it. I'm a, how you say, a not so good at business.
No. The gap between you and the second best person who's ever read on this is so huge.
He's killing it.
I think I might be the second best.
This is so much better than I ever dreamed.
God. All right, can you leave me in again? God. Do the...
I'm mad. How you say, not so good at business.
Don't say that, Scarface. The important part is that you're having fun.
That's the truth.
Anyways, would you like to see these two white ladies make out with each other? They're both heterosexual, but I have enough money that we can make them do what I want, including subvert their own sexual desires. It's pretty sweet. Then we'll probably be met with a lot of pushback. This will probably be met with a lot of pushback in about 30 years.
Hey, that sounds nice.
Perfect. Smooth Skin snaps his fingers, and just like that, two really hot white ladies walk in. One of the ladies is Michelle Pfeiffer. Did you know she was in this movie? I just found out. I wonder if you get to see her naked. I might actually watch it if that's the case. Anyway, she's getting ready to slob that other, not Michelle Pfeiffer lady down when suddenly Scarface stops her.
I like your face.
I like your face, too. Okay, it's not at all what people have described with their words.
I take you back to my pastel palace. You will be my wife.
Yeah, that sounds way better than kissing this thirsty background actor who convinced herself this scene would somehow propel her career. It won't.
Anytime we put down a background actor, we hit the harmonica.
Suck it, background actor.
They might
actor.
Have sold me that at the Guitar Hero.
Scarface and Michelle Pfeiffer leave the club to go bone until it's itchy down there. And they walk out. As they walk out, Smooth Skin picks up a really big rotary phone. He dials a number real slow because that's the only way to dial phones like that. They were so inconvenient. Finally, he finishes dialing, and then someone picks up.
Hey, it's time. We're going to rob Scarface. He's not good at selling drugs.
He listens.
Oh, sorry. I thought I must have dialed an 8 instead of a 7. Just ignore what I said.
He listens.
Okay. Yeah, I love you too. Bye.
He hangs up the phone.
Oh, what a nice lady. Now it's time to kill Scarface.
Scarface and Michelle... Oh, interior, Pastel Palace. Later. Scarface and Michelle Pfeiffer make sweet love on a pile of cocaine and velvet. Well, actually, Scarface mostly is just masturbating while he blocks the door.
Oh, my God.
He's been in the industry for a long time, and given the latest trend of gross men coming to light, there's no way he hasn't done some horrible stuff to a lady or two. Anyway, Scarface is beating his meat...
Anyways.
And Michelle Pfeiffer is into it. And then there's a big knock at the door.
What could that be?
He checked his watch.
I forgot about that.
This is not a cocaine hours.
He picks up a really big gun. Cut to exterior. Pastel Palace. Continuous. Smooth Skin stands outside with 40 guys who are all pretty tough looking. I mean, they're still dressed like 70s assholes, but tough looking 70s assholes. One guy even has a cigar. Yikes.
Open up, Scarface. I'm here to steal your cocaine.
Really?
Yes.
This isn't like a practical joke?
No. It's serious. Hey, where'd your accent go?
I don't know. The joke kind of got old, and it takes too long to write out all the extra A's at the end of each word. Anyway, looks like I'm going to have to murder you and all your friends.
Smoothskin and his men kick in the door.
I'd like to see you try.
Well then, say hello to my little friend, who is not actually a person. It's an atomic... It's an
atomic bomb.
It's an automatic weapon that I refer to as my friend because I haven't worked hard enough to foster healthy relationships. Cocaine has really taken a lot from me.
A giant gunfight breaks out. Guys are falling left and right. Scarface is really good at shooting people, and he's even better at not getting shot by people. Also, he's eating cocaine like Popeye eats spinach. Also, Michelle Pfeiffer is running around sucking all the dead guys' penises. She's really into necrophilia, but even worse, she betrayed him. Damn.
There's Scarface. A key explanation.
Scarface is watching her give a BJ to the cigar guy.
No!
Smoothskin shoots the distracted Scarface in the belly and laughs maniacally.
Oh my God.
You know, they always called me Scarface, but today, Smoothskin, you have scarred my heart.
Smoothskin is taken aback. That's pretty deep. Then Scarface falls to his knees, but lets off one final shot that hits Smoothskin dead in his forehead. Everyone dies in a pool of their own blood and feces and silk shirts with the buttons open way too far. No lessons were learned. And yet, generation after generation will reference this film as a classic. Powerful. End.
That was masterful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was so good.
Oh, we only walked one person out of the studio.
Why did that guy leave? That was my best work.
He's the person who had seen Scarface left.
Was that guy Italian? Was he mad?
No way. No way was that offensive. I'm not an expert on Italians, but that sounds pretty solid to me.
Look, if that's offensive, that guy will put his pizza down and come back in here and get mad at us.
Oh, what a fun group to make fun of.
It's crazy how short this episode's going to be when we edit everything out. Yeah, Langston did the podcast. It's a 30-minute teaser for the rest of the podcast.
Half of this episode is harmonica.
Yeah.
Good harmonica.
Yeah, thank you. Harmonica. Wow, thank you so much.
Okay. Wonderful scene. Good points. I think you thank nailed you. Part of it. I assume they all die.
Mm-hmm.
Cocaine driven.
Say hello to my little friend. That's the line. That's the line.
If you are listening, you know any other line from Scarface, send it to us. Well, I bet we get under four.
When I was writing it, I was going to make that a different line, but that didn't feel honest. I knew it was say hello to my little friend.
Then you want to put it in there.
But I didn't know what he said after that, and that's when I added all the other stuff.
He doesn't say much after that.
I love seeing your process.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I figured that's what we were here for, to break down.
But it is fun to know like what you know about the
just
movie.
Just like the in the actor's studio of me writing Scarface, The New Frontier.
I think everyone knows Little Friend. The New Frontier. Well, that's so you know it's a different world than the one that the other Captain Kirk is in.
Right, sure, yeah.
I pictured Patrick Stewart playing Scarface in this.
That's pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
That is good casting.
We should ask him.
I think everyone knows the poster, and everyone knows Say Hello to My Little Friend. Mm-hmm. I assume that's a dick thing.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a gun.
It's a gun.
No, but I assume it's like a metaphor for his penis, like most guns and most things. And then I don't know if any... Then it's just gunfire, right? I couldn't tell you a single actual plot point from Scarface.
I think that's the last line he says before he dies, right?
Yeah.
Should we ask that guy that left?
Come back!
We need him.
This is definitely the most that Andrew, our producer, has shaken his head no throughout the recording so far of any of
them. A lot
of
no's.
If he's just going to leave that pizza, though, can I have it?
He's on monster.com right now.
Looking for a new job.
Thanks, Aaron.
I don't know about monster.com.
No, he's just Googling
that's
the candy
now. That's a good movie. You got to see
Please
monster.com.
Please rewrite monster.com. Yeah. It's like Monsters, Inc., but it's a digital remake.
Oh, right. Boy.
It's time for us to get here into the final game, which is guess what movie Kyle's dad is describing based on having only seen and read the notes he saw from the trailer.
Hell yeah.
So we had 6 seconds of one at the beginning, which was he asked a girl out at a bank, I think, and we're going to play that one back. And if you know, just raise your hand, we'll let the whole thing play out. It's probably like too long.
Gotcha.
Let's do that one.
Okay. So he just asks the girl out at the bank. Bold move. So there's a pilot, and he has to go to court. Now he's on the phone with the FBI. Busy guy. He's generally well-dressed. He's back on the airplane spending the most time there. While I think the FBI searches for him. A lot of quick cuts. A lot of men in glasses. And women with long hair. Wait. Is this Apollo 13? Wait. No. Okay, now, the main guy has long hair and is tapping at a kid through a window. He's surrounded by paper, yelling, Merry Christmas. The FBI is getting close.
Your phone's not even on! I think that's the end of that one. I think a couple important notes. One, he told my mom that her phone wasn't on, but it clearly was.
Yeah,
it clearly was.
Two, you could hear him snapping at our dog Molly to go away while she was walking into the room. But she's blind and deaf, so there's no way that she responded to it. All right, so Langston, you had your hand up pretty early.
I think we probably had a similar feeling. Dog Day Afternoon was my first guess, but then it got weird.
My first guess was it was the Spike Lee joint, The Inside Man.
That was my second guess.
I believe, can I take a guess at it? I think I know what
it is. It's neither of those.
Okay.
Is it Castaway?
It's not that idea. You want to give a guess?
Yeah, I think it's Catch Me If You Can.
It is Catch Me If You
Can. Dang it.
That's good. Solid,
congrats.
Solid.
Congrats.
Should I play the harmonica?
Yeah, can you maybe play a little bit better attitude?
I really got to win. A lot rides on this.
Did you win any when you were here last time?
I don't think so.
All right, Aaron's 0 for 3 hours of this at this
Damn
point.
It, Aaron.
All right, let's get into this is number two.
Why is your dad so upset?
Okay, he's coughing.
Oh, can you pause it for a second?
Probably I want to a sick kid.
Because it's written, he writes it and then rereads what he's writing back, and then he's very much doesn't want to mess up reading the notes.
I got you.
Okay.
Okay, he's coughing. Probably a sick kid. Now his dad or some man is giving him the book. Oh, wait. Okay. There's a nice green, maybe a golf course. And now a sunset. The narrator is the dad. Maybe this is a fairy tale. There's that famous big man and a man who might be a Three Musketeer. The man with the annoying voice is laying out the plan to save the princess. Now Zorro.
I wish they'd turn the TV off.
And a bunch of quick shots of everyone fighting over the princess. Oh, it was that kid's grandpa.
Okay. You're pretty confident over here. I think that's the end.
Wow, you're really good at
Dang
Kyle's
it, this
dad.
Is really frustrating.
Does anyone else have an idea before you give your guess?
I have a guess, but I don't think it's right, so I'd love to hear.
Yeah, I have a guess.
I mean,
but
if
it's
we're
not
going
right.
with bad guesses first, I'm sure I have.
What is your guess?
A worse
All right, Langston, what's your bad guess?
Big Fish.
It's not Big Fish. That's
not
a bad
guess,
though.
Guess.
That's actually a pretty good guess.
That's a good guess, though.
Because that is like a story being told and then the story happening.
Yeah. I'm a student of famous big men, and the guy in that is a famous big man.
Mm-hmm.
He's not.
He just died a few years ago.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is the Princess Bride.
It is the Princess Bride.
Wow.
Oh, man. That's, I was going to guess
Fantastic.
Shrek.
Guys,
that was actually my second guess.
Imagine if my dad watched the whole Shrek trailer and never said cartoon.
Or he's a donkey, big guy.
Or green. He's like, I'm sorry, I just don't see color. I just see the funny sidekick friend and the big man.
What if that's why he called him sick is because he was green?
Must be some sick kid.
See, it could
No,
have
I
worked.
Think because it's all framed for the kid from the Wonder Years is getting the story read to him.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen The Princess Bride.
Cool. Oh, that's great.
It's really
I was
good.
Just forced to watch it. It was okay.
Okay. Well, they said it was great.
I don't know. No, Aaron's bringing all of her baggage and being a huge loser into this.
When you see it young, I think it means more to
okay.
you than when you see it when you're old.
I saw it the first time like a year ago. It was good.
You're able to watch that movie with like a tongue-in-cheekness, though, and it's very funny. Like it doesn't take itself seriously.
What is that guy's name who's the annoying voice guy? He's in everything. He's in Clueless. He's the blackjack dealer in Vegas Vacation who keeps beating Chevy Chase.
He's a teacher in Clueless.
Wallace Shawn.
He's a teacher in Clueless, right?
Yeah.
That was a great. Sweet alley-oop assist from the booth.
Yeah, wish you would have capitalized the S in Sean, but other than that, it was flawless. All right, we got one more.
Hell yeah.
And then we're wrapped. This has been very fun.
This has been great.
So fun.
Right, last one. I don't even remember what the...
Oh.
Oh, okay.
So this last one's on vinyl.
Going to read from a dictionary, and then it leads right into the swirls. Those type of swirls that are trippy. The man wakes up in his bed very suddenly, and then the same happens with the woman. Now a man and a woman are hugging, and it seems awfully windy to hug there, and an unsafe cliff for hugging. The narrator is back. This guy is standing on a stepladder going from one step up to the top. Why is there so much hanging around his apartment? There are a lot of shots of him creeping in that hat and her in beds. Okay, he is stalking her. He's stalking them all.
Jesus
Wait,
Christ.
He tried to remake her?
What?
I guess he tried to remake her.
You can hear him scrolling.
Now he's on
notes.
A roof. And there they are by that bridge. Drives me nuts, you right there in my face.
That's the dog. Well, I'm sad I don't have a dog anymore, but you can hear her creeping in on him. All right, what do you think it is, Langston?
Well, I had a first guess, and then that got ruined, but my first guess was Twister.
It's not Twister.
Is it Inception?
It's not Inception.
It was the swirls in the making out in dangerous places. That felt like
making
Twister.
Out in dangerous places. Older. Windy. There's that bridge. Get out of my face, Molly.
A stalker.
He's stalking.
He's stalking her. But well, it, you know, from a trailer. All right, Hitchcock.
Oh. Birds.
Vertigo.
Vertigo.
Wow.
It's Vertigo.
Is that right?
It's Vertigo.
That
yeah.
is a movie I have not seen.
I haven't seen Vertigo.
By the Golden Gate Bridge. That's like a that's like a big part of it is it's in San Francisco because he has Vertigo. What a city, blah, blah, blah. It's a great movie. You should see it. Well, I hope Molly, the dog, is okay.
Prayers up.
Thank you guys for coming, Langston. Thank you for writing the script. You guys, thank you for coming and reading some parts and having fun with us. This has been Never
Grazie.
Seen It. Oh my God, please rate and subscribe and leave us nice reviews if you're not Italian on iTunes. No, please, everyone, leave us nice reviews. I hope you appreciate it. And if you want, we're going to be having some fun. If you have your own script to a movie you've never seen and you want us to see it and maybe have some fun with it here on the podcast, send it to neverseenitpodcast@gmail.com. 1 to 3 pages will be perfect for something you haven't seen. Thank you guys very much for listening.
It's a good show.